it's great to be in church. I love being here on Sundays. There's something encouraging about us building something together, us believing for something together, us expecting that we're going to be able to actually, not just maybe, not just kind of, but actually be a part of seeing the Comox Valley shift and change. I actually believe because we exist, the Comox Valley is changing. Anyone else believe that? Come on, it's happening, it's happening. So today we're talking about, in our second week of full strength, we're talking these last 2 weeks and then the weeks coming up, what it would look like for us as a church to be running at full strength. What would it look like for us to be operating at our highest capacity, at our greatest level of influence, at our greatest potential? What might that look like? And we have an image. Last week I talked about an image that I remember a little too painfully of when my wife and I were riding a tandem bike in San Francisco. If you weren't here last week, we can tell you about it. We're going to tell you about it right now anyways, just so my wife can... Here we are. Here we are riding our tandem bike in San Francisco. And we talked about this last week and continue to talk about it and will for many weeks to come because I'm very bitter about it. I'm just kidding. Because we're talking about this idea that within church, sometimes we have a more of a model that runs like that than a model that we all are pedaling together in something. Every church is going to decide what they want to accomplish. Every church is going to decide what they feel like their purpose, wherever they're positioned is. Our purpose for us, we really believe, is to be a church that reaches people and helps them to know Jesus. We really believe that our purpose is to share the life-giving message, to share the hope, to share what is inside of us, to share what Jesus is with other people and have them come to know Jesus themselves. And so that's our hope. That's the big thing that we want to do. Well, we've grown as a church. We've been growing. We've been seeing more people come out. We have more small groups. We have more teens. We have more kids. We have more lots of things. That's really amazing, isn't it? Is that great? That's awesome. But our goal is not to get more people in seats. Our goal is not to just get more people in, sharing seats, and that's good. Our goal is that whoever God gives us, whoever lands here, whoever shows up and says, I believe in Jesus, and I want to be a part of this church, anyone who says that, we want to see what we can do with that kind of influence moving out into the Comox Valley. Isn't that what we want? We want to go see what would happen if not just people filled the seats, but people went from the seats and did some incredible things in the Comox Valley for the glory of Jesus. That's what we want to see. So here, my wife filled the seat. I mean, she did it very well. She's pretty. She looks nice in that seat. But she wasn't pedaling with me. And so a tandem bike actually is harder to move forward. It would have been more efficient for me to go and cross the Golden Gate Bridge if I just rode on my own bike. But I brought her along thinking, oh, look, this will be awesome. We'll both pedal together in one direction, accomplish this thing with maybe less energy even. And instead, it's me doubling my energy so we can get both of us across. The church is going to be at its full strength when we all know what we're trying to accomplish and we all work towards getting us there. When we all decide we're part of it. When we don't just come and fill seats, but we come and we're inspired by Jesus and then we find out where we're going and then we get going together. That's when the church is going to be at full strength, at its mightiest, at its most influential. That's when we're going to see most people come to know Jesus. And that's our goal. Not just to get people in the seats, though we do believe when they get in here, hopefully they find community and life and Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and moves in them through worship or small group or a sermon, whatever it might be. But then we want to help people recognize where we're going and start going there with us, start pushing there with us. My wife was going with me where I was going, but we were going to get there slower than if she had put her feet down and pedaled. By the way, she said, Evan, you can keep making fun of me if you like, but I did pedal some of the way, okay? So she wanted me to clarify some things for everyone. Now we know. So last week we talked about we'll be at full strength when we are all in small group, when everybody is in a small group. This week we're going to talk about we will be at full strength when we all stop complaining. You like that? Amen. Hey? Woo! When we all stop complaining. I know some of you, I know what happens in minds and churches. I've been in church for a lot of years myself. I know that some of you are like, note to self, complain about what Pastor Evan is talking about after church. You know? You go home like, I can't believe he'd talk about stopping complaining. I just want to complain about that for a bit. And talk that through. We just need to figure that one out together. That just sort of happens when you're in church. We have a habit, a tendency to complain about things. We've learned to complain about things. This week I was reading through the Globe and Mail, or this old article from the Globe and Mail from last year, and it says this one particular phrase that I really like, or this paragraph. Repeated complaining rewires your brain to make future complaining more likely. Well, if you want to get good at complaining, just do it. Practice makes perfect, right? You want to get good at basketball, shoot a few, and you're going to start getting better and better if you keep at it. Well, if you want to get good at complaining, just do it lots, and you'll be really good, you know? You'll learn very well how to be good at complaining if you just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, and all of a sudden you'll be amazing at it. Soon it won't be just bad circumstances that you complain about. You'll even be so good at complaining that you'll learn how to do it in good circumstances. Hey, we learn to be grumblers, as the Bible talks about. That it's not just, well, I have a legitimate reason to complain. No, our brains are actually wired that if we learn how to complain about bad things and we just that becomes the way we deal with things, then we eventually have learned so well that even in good circumstances, when stuff's not that bad, we find something to complain about. Isn't that a strange concept? Yeah, some of us sort of feel that sometimes. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to complain once in a while. And then a little more frequently. And then all the time about everything, no matter what. It says, your brain will be more likely to complain. Over time, you find it easier to be negative than positive, regardless of what's happening around you. Complaining becomes your default behavior, which changes how people perceive you. What a strange concept that complaining would actually become our default. That in all circumstances, we're trying to figure out what can we complain about. The Bible really says something quite oppositional to this. Paul says it himself, actually, in Philippians 2, 14 to 15. He says, do everything. Do everything. This isn't the do partial thing. The do once some of your things, some of your hobbies you should do this way. Some of the interactions you should do this way. Some of your church involvement you should do this way. He says do everything, not just like everything. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Well, come on, Paul. You can't do everything. I can do some things without grumbling, like when those people aren't really annoying, but when they are, I'm going to complain about it. He said, no, do everything without, yeah, I will, as long as my food comes out on time in the restaurant, I will do everything without complaining. But if it comes out late, complaint. He says, do everything without complaining. I will, as long as the pastor gives a good sermon, not a bad one. I won't complain as long as he's not terrible and doesn't go on too long. And the worship team plays the music that I want, and I get said hello to 7 times on the way in. But if that doesn't happen, I get to complain. We all know that. We all know that we get to complain if the pastor does a bad sermon. Amen? Hey, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. I've never done a test like that on you. Pretty good. Pretty good. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Paul says, when you don't grumble and don't complain, this is what will happen. This is the result. He says, so that this will happen. You will become blameless and pure. I don't know what you thought it takes to be blameless and pure as a Christian. Probably, some of us probably think that becoming blameless and pure is actually telling other people where they're messing up and complaining about their lives. But actually, he says, you become blameless and pure when you don't argue with people and you don't complain about people. Just because there's something wrong, just because there's something broken, just because there's something not right doesn't mean that complaining will fix it. In fact, problems aren't solved by your complaints. Complaint is like talking about our present situation and being dissatisfied about our present situation without any plan or without any doing anything about changing the future. I'm just going to complain about it. Nothing's going to change. I know that, and then I'll complain about that. Complaining doesn't change anything. Our problems don't need our complaints. They need our solutions. And God has empowered us. God's given us life. God's given us vision. God's given us hope to be part of changing things, to be part of recognizing problems and defining solutions. Our government doesn't need us to sit and complain about them. They need us to help them to run this country well. We don't need to complain about all the problems in our city. We need to start being part of the solution to help the things in our city change. That's our role. That's what we do. Complaining doesn't change anything. So, he says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. This is Paul actually hearkening back to Deuteronomy 32:5, when Moses is sending the Israelites into the promised land, and he says, here, I just want you to know something. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go in there, and you're going to leave God. You're going to leave the God who's called you out of this. When you go in, you're going to turn to other idols. You're going to turn to other gods. You're going to turn to other things to make you happy and to solve your problems and to fix things. And Moses is warning them already. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you don't do that, you will become blameless and pure in this generation when you don't turn to those idols. In other words, complaints in our hearts cause us to turn to other solutions than God. We start looking elsewhere. Oh, I'm not that happy with this. Maybe if I go and tell someone else that I'm not happy with this and tell them how bad this person was and how ugly they are and how bad a preacher he is and all that, maybe it'll get fixed. And all of a sudden, your gossip becomes your idol. I think gossiping will solve all my problems, you know? I think if I go and tell someone my complaint, then all of my problems will be fixed. And Moses way back then and Paul now is saying, no, stop complaining. Complaining is you saying you don't trust God to carry you out of this and carry you through it and walk you through it. Complaining tells everyone that you think that you would do it different, you would solve life different, you would make everything better, so I must be better at being God than God himself. Complaining is always against God. This is what Moses is saying. Here goes Paul. He says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Why is it that when you don't complain or argue, you'll shine among people like stars in the sky? Probably because everyone complains and argues. Hey, you'll look weird if you don't complain. It's just normal. It's pretty easy to complain. It's way easier to complain. You go home at lunch and discover, is it easier to complain about your life? Is it easier to complain about your finances, about your family situation, about your marriage, about your job? Is it easier to complain or is it easier to be thankful? Way easier to complain. You don't even need to be a Christian. You can complain all without any spiritual backing at all. In fact, the spiritual backing causes you to be thankful, causes you to be life-giving and an encourager instead of a grumbler. Stop complaining. We'll be at full strength when we stop complaining. Complaining is like taking our feet off the pedal, saying, take me somewhere, and if I don't get there soon, I'm going to be upset. Well, you start pedaling, and then you're like, I'm ready. I just got to go. We're just going. We got to get there. And you don't have time to think about all the things that someone else isn't doing. So I want to talk to you about a couple scenarios in church culture where we have a choice to either complain or do something else. I want to tell you about a couple of our heroes within this church or a couple of heroic decisions that have taken place within this church. So here we go. When the pastor preaches a bad sermon, do you A, complain, or B, encourage? That's something worth thinking about, isn't it? One of the primary things that people complain about in church, me, the pastor, or a pastor, who knows what pastor, probably not this one, but some pastor, right? He did. Oh, I can't believe he spoke on that. Oh, why did he say that? Oh, I can't. I don't know if we can even go to this church anymore because he did that thing or she did that thing. I just can't believe it. What do you do? Do you complain or do you encourage? What's the best result? So sometimes I don't know what we think our complaints are going to accomplish, right? I'm just going to go home, complain about my pastor, and that should probably uplift the whole situation. You know, that should make everyone feel better. I know I'll feel better. Then I've gotten it off my chest. Complaining never helps you feel better. It actually helps you learn how to complain again. You're going to learn how to complain from your complaints. What does encouragement do? Encouragement teaches you how to encourage. Yeah, if you can complain in bad situations so well that you learn how to complain in good situations, then you can be thankful in good situations and encouraging in good situations so well that you'll learn how to do it in bad. In bad situations, you could be a life giver. When the sermon is awful, once in a while it is. When the sermon's terrible, you can actually say, oh, I found something good in there. It was really deep and really hard to see, but here it is. I loved that part. Can I tell you, there's a hero in our church that I see that way, and his name is Jim Robertson. He sits right over there. And Jim comes up to me at every service, after the service, and walks up and gives me a high five and says, that was amazing, that was awesome. He always just tells me that he loved it. And I sometimes think, did you not hear it? Yeah. Because Jim, he knows his Bible. He knows sometimes I'm going to be off. In fact, he's even encouraged me sometimes when I am off. When I haven't had the best sermon, when I haven't put together the perfect thing, when I've said things that I wish I hadn't, and I already know the weight of that. I already know, but he doesn't come up to me and say, hey, just so you know I usually encourage you, but that was awful. Have a great day. See you later. He comes up and he finds something to spur me on with. Our complaining against each other doesn't move anyone forward. If we want to move forward towards the mission of Jesus, it's not by complaining until maybe all the bad things go away. We're not about stopping all the bad things or all the... We're about giving life. We're about bringing life. Jesus came not to end death. He came to bring life. It's not about stop this so that... It's about pushing things forward. This city doesn't get changed by all of us sitting in here and doing nothing wrong. It gets changed by us starting to step into what's right. I will become a better preacher, guaranteed, if I have Jims in my life who say, you are doing a great job. We love it. It's incredible. If I get some amens once in a while in the sermon, I'm going to become a better preacher. That's just how it's, amen, amen. That's just how it works. That's just how it works for us. We all are better at what we're doing. Whatever is rewarded is repeated. Have you ever heard that? Whatever's rewarded is repeated. If you reward me for trying to give a sermon, all of a sudden I'm going to get into it a bit more. I'm going to get a little bit more excited. Preaching is a together thing. It's just not just a me thing, trying to tell you all of my great wisdom and all of my great knowledge. It's about me saying, let's go. Let's move. Let's together do this. Let's get on the bike and not just get on the bike. Let's start pedaling. Let's get in the church, but not just get in the church, but move out from here. This is about me inspiring the church. It's not about me figuring out if I can teach you all the things that I know that you don't know. And all. It's about us going somewhere together. We don't exist for me to... Our mission is to reach people. Our mission is not to have perfect sermons. There's nowhere in our mission statement that says the pastor will preach perfect sermons. We don't think that's what's going to change things. We don't think that's what's going to shift this city. There are churches like that. There are some churches that the pastor feels a lot of pressure to preach the perfect sermon, and the people look for the perfect sermon. If it doesn't come, they complain. If you like complaining about sermons, that will be a great church for you. But this church doesn't exist for the perfect sermon. We exist for the broken people in the Comox Valley, and Jesus wants to reach them. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. When you're asked to increase your commitment to team, do you A, complain about how much work it is, or B, celebrate that our growing ministries require growing commitment? That's a good one. Sometimes as we grow as a church, what happens, and in the coming weeks we'll be talking about team. I'm not going to tell you when so that you still come to church, but We grow as a church. I mean, every ministry has grown. Every ministry takes a little bit more work, a little bit more effort, a little bit more people. Our worship does, our greeting does, our hosting, our guest services, our gate, kids ministry, which is elementary and preschool and nursery, our parking team, our small group teams, our soup and sandwich teams, our free store teams. Everything needs a little bit more to it. And so when we're a growing church, all of a sudden we're going to have growing needs on the people within the church because we're trying to reach people. The church isn't here for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. And so if we're the church and we exist for them, then we got to figure out if we have more people, more stuff going on, more things happening, more ministry requirements to fall carnivals, amen. If we have all of that stuff going on, it's going to be important that all of us step it up a little bit. And we all serve a little bit more. We all give a little bit more of ourselves. That's just part of it. That's how it fits. Otherwise, we're all jumping on the bike and sitting there and saying, someone take me somewhere. We got to pedal together and go together and not complain about the team that I have to serve on. Do you know, the times that you don't need to serve more are the times when you're in a shrinking church. When we're a growing church, we got to get on board. We got to move forward. We got to take part in it. And so if the church is shrinking, I don't want to be part of that. I want to be part of reaching people and seeing people come to know Jesus. I want to be part of a growing church, but it's going to cost us. So do you complain normally? If you're asked to do more, do you normally complain about how much work it is or celebrate that our church ministries require growing commitment because we're growing? It's a good question. I want to tell you about a couple in our church named Rich and Amy Emery. Does anyone know them? No one knows them. Those guys, I want to tell you about this one moment when Amy was away at camp all week this last summer. She had her two kids there at camp with her. Grueling, tiring. Camp is a tiring thing. She's a volunteer. Her husband, Rich, volunteers in the sound booth. They got back from camp on the Saturday. Sunday morning, they had to come and sort of reset up the stage and get things all organized. They bring their two kids. The two of them come. They're the first ones in the church right after camp. They get it all set up. Rich runs sound that day. And then at the end of it all, I remember that day, I was on my way out. Everyone's out of the church. I'm heading out. I say, hey guys, who's still left in here? It's Rich and Amy finishing everything off. They come here and serve after camp. So lots of people say, I just served at a week of camp. I need 3 weeks off now. And they show up the next day, first in the building, last out of the building. Can we get a little clap for that? That's a good thing. That means a lot for our church. Some of us think, oh, I'm so glad the pastors come in and take care of all the sound and do all that stuff. It's volunteers. They come and serve and give their lives to this. That's a good thing because we're growing. We need it. Okay, we'll be a full-strength church when we stop complaining. Next one. When you're asked to give financially to the mission of the church, do you A, complain about how much the church takes, or B, pray that everyone would give as much as you so great things can happen? This is a tough one, I know. People are like, the church is always asking for money and always trying to do these things. I just wish they'd stop asking for money because that's just not nice. I don't want to give money. God wants to do something incredible in the Comox Valley. He's going to do it through the church. He's going to do it through the local church. And as we want to do more and accomplish greater and see greater things happen, we're all going to have to get on board. You invest in what you believe in. I'm not asking you to invest in something you don't believe in. If you don't believe in this church, don't worry about being full strength. Don't worry about running with us. If you don't believe in what's happening, that's okay. I hope to convince you that there is something worth believing in here. But if you do believe in what's going on here, if you do believe what's happening, it's worth your investment. It's worth giving to. We give to what we believe in. That happens every other place on the planet. let's give to this. And so when the church is growing, we're accomplishing more, we have more local partners, we have more global partners where we have growing ministries in the community. We have more backpacks that we give out this year. We're going to probably do more pies than we do. We're doing 2 fall carnivals. There's just more that we want to accomplish in the Comox Valley. When we do that, it requires money. And so when the church says, hey, let's give, let's be generous, let's go after it, do you tend to say, oh, I can't believe it. They asked me to give again. I don't want it. Or do you tend to celebrate, I'm so glad I get to be part of a church that's trying to think of how to change the community? Which one do we choose? When the parking lot is full, do you A, honk your horn and get frustrated, or B, celebrate a growing church? Some of you, that's a dagger to the heart right there. I was out in the parking lot in between services. I know that's a dagger to some of your hearts. Like, hey, what are you doing? Get out of my way. I'm trying to get into church already. Like, trying to go worship the Lord. Move. You know? And if the lot feels full, I'll tell you that's because the building is. If the building is, that's because we're changing this community. That's good news. It's good news if the lot's full. We don't want to be complaining about that. We don't want to be coming in and say, I can't believe our parking lot is so small. The parking lot wouldn't be small if our church wasn't growing. Amen? Our church is growing, so our parking lot is small. So we need more help. So we need more money. So the pastor is going to give some good, some bad sermons. None of these things require our complaints. Our complaints take them nowhere. Last one. I like this one. When the kids sign in is slow, do you A, I know parents would never complain about anything in church. The kids sign in is slow, do you A, complain about our systems, or B, buy a new one? This is actually a testimony of what happened in our church. We had a couple in our church, still part of us, and we still love them very much. They said to Pastor Joel, hey, Pastor Joel, sign-in's a little slow. What needs to change? He said, well, we only have one printer for the tags and stuff. That'll change by next week. They go out and buy a new printer. Yeah. Our problems don't need our complaints. They need our solutions, don't they? God wants to do something incredible through us. I love that heart that says, it'd be very common. I wonder how many people that day went home and said, I can't believe how slow kid sign-in was. I don't know if they really care about my kids. I don't know if they care about me. I don't really think that this church is doing anything right. So I think we're done there. Instead, I wonder how many parents went through and said that. Instead, these guys come out and say, wow, I sure see a problem. I'm sure glad I'm part of this church and it's not just a church of a few staff, but we're all part of the church and we can all make it better. I think I'll just pay for it. I'll get the printer. Let's get it going. And all of a sudden we got 2 lines. It was awesome. I love that stuff. That's so cool. When we decide to stop complaining, we'll start solving problems. We'll start actually moving forward. We'll start moving towards the vision and the mission in the Comox Valley. We need your solutions, not your complaints. Complaints aren't going to get us anywhere. Worship team, you can come on up. You know, there are some stories in the Bible where we see people seem to be complaining. Most of the time in the Bible, those people are called grumblers and they don't move anything really forward. But some of those times, it seems to be actually okay and actually good when people sort of complain to God. The thing is, when we complain to God, we're complaining to the one who actually could change something. Often our complaints turn into praise when we spend time with him. You know what your complaints turn into when it's shared with someone else? Gossip. One place we take our complaints to God and all of a sudden they turn into praise and thanksgiving and maybe encouragement for other people. If we take our complaints instead to each other, all we start to do is bash that person over and over and over until they're no longer a good person. They're terrible. I can't believe they did that. Oh, and all these complaints just turn into gossip. What if we became a church that instead of complaining, we encouraged? What would that do? I wonder if today, every time you thought of a complaint, you instead sent an encouraging text message to someone. You instead said an encouraging word to someone. What if instead of complaining today, when you go home to church, you got to check yourself. Some of you are going to go home from church even today And a pastor was talking about complaining. I can't believe you do that, because we don't really complain that much. And when we do, it's because of good reason. It's because the church is really boring. So I wish it wasn't so boring, but it is. You check yourself when you go home. It's not me who said it, it's Paul who said, do not complain, do not grumble or argue about anything. In everything, do it without grumbling, without arguing. You check yourself when you go home today. Watch what you do. Some of us are going to leave, and right away we put those things down, but we're not going to move forward, or we're not going to be at full strength when we're all deciding to complain about the Sunday service and each other and the kids' ministry and the worship team and the songs weren't right, and I wish they would do this and I wish they would do that, and I can't believe we're not doing this, and why are we doing two fall carnivals? That's going to require more people. Listen, our task as a church, our role and mission as a church is not to make sure that we all have a healthy balance of serving. It's to reach the Comox Valley for Jesus. We'll always be that. Sometimes things are going to get a little out of balance. Sometimes they get out of balance for me. Sometimes I'm here every night of a week. I've got 3 kids at home and a wife who's working now. We're busy. I'm not saying, hey, all of you go and do this so I can go and have a little snooze at my house for the rest of the week. I believe in this. I believe in what can happen in the Comox Valley. Our staff and our team at the church, they believe in this. I see them give themselves to this. I see them push and step into this. I see Rich and Amy Emery stepping into this and saying, it's not about me complaining or doing more or doing less or comparing to other people and doing that. It's just about me giving to this. The interns at our church, they've given up everything so they can come and serve us. It's not a balanced lifestyle. It's not like, yeah, do that for the rest of your life and your retirement fund will all come in just fine. No, they're paying to come and serve us. What happens when we start to create a culture that doesn't complain? We start to hit full strength. We start to be able to think about everyone else when we stop thinking just about ourselves. And God is good to meet us in those times. Amen? Come on, why don't we stand up? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you today. I want to be a church that doesn't complain about every little thing, but we find ways to be thankful. We find ways to be encouraging to one another. So anyone who really believes in that, who wants to today have their heart changed, that complaint wouldn't be the main thing they do, but encouragement and thanksgiving would, that their complaints would go to God and no one else, and they would turn to praise. Anyone who says that today, why don't you just stand up? Oh, amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to complain about that one at lunch. Tricked us again. Lord, thank you that you've called us to a great purpose, Lord. You've called us to a great purpose, Lord. And Lord, you want us to be at full strength. You want us to be running strong. So Lord, thank you that you actually wait on your people to do the mission. It's not like you don't want to do the mission that you have for this Comox Valley. It's not like you don't want to change every home and every family. It's not like you don't want to change every school. It's not like you don't want every person in this Comox Valley to know you, and yet you wait on us, Jesus. Thank you that you do. Help us today to be encouragers. Help us to be life givers. Help us to be ones who pour out into each other. Help us to be ones who find the greatest things in each other, not the worst things in each other. Help us to recognize the beauty and the power of God in one another, Lord. Not all of the faults and all the problems. Help us, Jesus, to believe for good things in the Comox Valley, not just recognize all the bad things. For good things in our politicians, not just recognize all the bad things. Help us, Lord, to not complain, but to be thankful, to pray, to praise, and to encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen.